The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. Anna McHugh is Head of Communications at Unpust. Tell us how your organisation has achieved a zero gender pay gap. And what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, well, it's a really great day for us today. We're delighted with to have achieved this zero gender pay gap in just 2 years, moving down from what was 4%. And well, Matt, it took serious focus and hard work right across the business by so many people. But you know, we took a few key steps to encourage more people to progress in their roles and to progress within the company, and to make sure that we didn't have unconscious bias, and that we didn't, you know, do anything to discourage people coming forward for roles. But it has taken, with everything else that's been going on in a rapidly changing and developing industry and business, it takes constant focus, and will do from here on as well. But we're really pleased to have reached a zero pay gap in this time.
But just to clarify, I mean, if somebody was either a man or a woman was out delivering post or was behind a counter in an Unpust shop, weren't they getting paid the same for doing the same work prior to this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, we came from a strong basis, that's very true. But what we found was, as people were moving through the ranks, the gender representation wasn't what it should be, and we've still more work to do on that. But certainly, you know, by taking a really strong focus on it, and by ensuring that we have the resources and the encouragements there to ensure that the top levels, and as people are progressing through the ranks, that gender representation was there. And if there was any gaps that we could, you know, we could make improvements on, that we, you know, we took that action. So that was really...
How do you do that? I mean, if you have, for example, an opening coming up, do you encourage women to make an application for a particular position? Do you have quotas or whatever? And then do you decide, in the case of maybe if there's equal candidates, that the woman gets the job rather than the man?
You always must imply the very best candidate. But what's vital is that shortlist, and that the field that you're choosing from is that there's proper gender balance in, you know, at that shortlist stage. And that often means that you have to encourage women to step forward, that you have to ensure that perhaps the way in which roles are described, the way advertisements are done, the way that's communicated internally, that you need to really look at all of that, and to ensure that it's not just the same old, and if it is a very male-orientated, or has been traditionally a male-orientated role, that you're not just reinforcing those perceptions. And it's a good thing to do anyway, to freshen up and to look at how you're going about your internal promotion, and indeed your wider general recruitment, because you want the very best people. When we're in a massive area of transformation now, right across the business, you know, from letters to e-commerce, from cash to financial services, we're building the Unpust of the future. And to do that, you need the very best people. And to do that, to get the very best people, you need to have that diversity and that balance right through the recruitment process.
Okay, Dr. Cara McGann is with us, Head of Social Policy at IBEC. Do many big companies like Unpust have similar initiatives at work at present?
Absolutely. A number of companies are really putting a lot of focus on this whole area of gender balance and trying to look at what they can do differently to improve that representation. Exactly as Anna said, to try and make sure that we're seeing talent come through at every single level, and that we're not having unconscious bias within the business. So many people are looking at, you know, what is it we need to do at recruitment as people progress through the organisation, making sure that there's role models, making sure that, you know, there's clearly a culture that is inclusive and one that wants to see men and women progress through the organisation.
Okay, but do you get resistance from men who are trying to protect their positions?
Not as much as sometimes is discussed. I think, you know, the current setup for many organisations at the moment doesn't suit men or women. You know, so where maybe there aren't opportunities for women to progress in certain areas, or they're coming up against obstacles. In the same way, men find that sometimes the setup isn't suiting them either. So, for example, we often hear from men that if they want to engage more in kind of responsibilities within their own family, that that might be frowned upon, or it might be seen as career limiting. Now, we're seeing huge changes in organisations around that, because that was the old culture, and we're seeing that move to be much more inclusive and much more looking at the new way of work in a modern world and what that's going to do for both men and women going forward.
Is it helped as well perhaps by movement between companies, that it can be easier perhaps for women to progress if they move to a different company where they might be headhunted for a role?
I think, you know, certainly gaining experience in different areas and different companies is always beneficial, but I don't think it's required to see women come through all levels of the organisation. And I think that attention that companies are now really placing on how do we achieve the best talent for the job, exactly as Anna said, you know, where you're looking at seeing that talent coming through, making sure that that's what you're about. Well, that means that you've got to be recruiting from the whole of the talent pool. You can't be just looking at 50% of it. So therefore, you're trying to achieve, you know, where are the obstacles, what do we need to uncover, and how do we move forward? So looking at the gender pay gap, I suppose, it isn't going to solve the whole area of gender balance, but in itself it is a tool that will be one of part of a whole of society approach to how we do that and how we achieve those goals.
And finally, have we got to a stage, Dr. Karen McGann, where women are better at negotiating for themselves? Because sometimes you hear stories where pay levels and scales may be breached because men go in and manage to negotiate a better deal for themselves, which puts them ahead of the woman in a similar position.
I do think that sometimes women do, you know, we anecdotally hear that women do have difficulty in negotiation, but this really isn't about fixing the women. We've got to look at this with, when we're looking at gender pay gap, it's not really about pay, it's about representation. So what we need to see is the women coming through the ranks at all levels and coming to senior levels, because the gender pay gap is looking at not, you know, women and men necessarily doing the same job. It's looking at all of the men and all of the women in your organisation basing on their gross hourly earnings of all pay employees, so not just those with the same experience or working pattern. So to see that kind of representation to be solved, we do need to see that coming through at all levels. So while negotiation around pay is always important for everybody, I don't think it's actually the heart of the problem with the gender pay gap, in as much as that representation issue across all levels and that opportunity is more of an issue.
Thank you very much, Dr. Karen McGann of IBEC and Anna McHugh from Unpost.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.